We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Empress Bank. Coming up, the latest on the 2024 NFL Draft from the team at KC Sports Network, your home for Kansas City Chiefs coverage.
Welcome back to another edition of the KCSN Draft Show. I am Matt Lane. I am here, and we're just here talking draft. We're talking all about some upcoming draft prospects that are going to be in the 2024 NFL Draft. Earlier this week, we sat down, Kent and I, we talked about some running backs, some defensive tackles. If you haven't listened to that, check the latest episode of the KCSN Draft Guy or Show. We're going to go ahead and talk about all the running backs, guys we like, some defensive tackles we like. Well, today, because of the situation where we've been able to talk to some of these guys, we have been able to go down to the East-West Shrine Bowl, talk to some players, sit down with them, have an interview, get some insight into how their journey into football got started, what football means to them, little bits and tidbits about their game. So today, we're going to have a couple of those interviews. We're going to listen to them with a couple running backs, and we have a bonus interview after we finish up two running backs. So the first one we got here is Carson Steele, running back out of UCLA, transferred in from Ball State. Let's go ahead and hop right into that interview first here with Carson Steele.
It's good to be joined by Carson Steele, running back out of UCLA. Thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hey,
talk a little bit to us about your football journey, how you got started, who helped you get to where you are right now.
Yeah, I would definitely just say my parents are, you know, a big factor coming out of it. They're always in my corner, you know, good or bad, you know, everything happening. And started out high school coach Eric Moore, you know, he's really, you know, been along with me too. He kind of helped me through the transfer portal and stuff like that. And then, you know, coming out at UCLA too, coming out of high school, didn't really have too many big offers, kind of had a bad hamstring injury coming out my junior year. And then, of course, you know, COVID happened about 3 months later, so I wasn't allowed to visit or anything. And yeah, it was just a mess for me. And, you know, Ball State took a chance on me, got an offer from there, and you know, spent a good 2 years there. And, you know, just thought I could pursue something, you know, a little bit different for me to kind of help me out through the, you know, next journey, step up. And, you know, came out Chip Kelly, you know, his offense, you know, it's crazy. So being able to talk with him, you know, kind of be that big back, you know, kind of really help out UCLA. And so it was just a perfect fit for me, and it kind of fit in.
What was it about either your visit or meetings with UCLA or the fit in Chip Kelly's offense that kind of really drew you to their team?
I would just say, you know, Coach Foss too, as well, being a 10-year vet in the NFL, and especially like the schemes and stuff too in the UCLA offense. And they had some, you know, big time backs come out the last 4 or 5 years. So that kind of really helped me out too as well to pick that.
So that offense is very diverse. There's a lot of stuff that happens there. Do you have a favorite run concept or a passing concept that you love to run there at UCLA?
We quite a few of them, but I would say probably counter is probably my big one that I love to run. We'd have different types of like footwork and stuff like that, out of the gun, under center, stuff like that. But that's probably my favorite play.
Do you think you could walk us through just one of your counter plays that, you know, you can remember in your head or how it works? You get up to the line, ball snapped. What are you reading? What are you keying on as the snap's going?
Kind of looking at that first like inside backer. It was especially like if it was like 50, you'd be going to the right side. But it'd be different footwork if you called like because we had like number systems with it, and like our odd numbers would give different types of footworks and then give the QB like a different path too as well. So I'd probably say that was my biggest one. And then being able to look, and if kind of everything mashes up, you can, you know, bounce it outside and have that, you know, one-on-one with a corner or something like that.
So you get that one-on-one with a corner or a safety. Do you have a go-to plan or move to make him miss, or are you just kind of playing it by ear?
Honestly, a stiff arm's probably my favorite one to go to. I've been working on the spin moves, stuff like that, to be a little more versatile, but either running over somebody or like stiff arm's kind of my big go-to, yeah.
So if somebody hasn't ever watched you before, what's a game that you would go tell them to turn on that kind of encapsulates who you are as a running back?
I would say probably Washington State or either like Stanford. Those kind of my big games I had. Oregon State as well, too. It's really just, you know, downhill, you know, hard-nosed football, you know, being able to punch a few, like, couple-yard runs in and then break off, like, a 10, 15-yard run just over and over, so.
Can you walk us through maybe an individual play that you just remember every detail from one of those games, maybe on an explosive run or touchdown run or something like that?
Yeah, I would just say once we got up to, you know, kind of running the clock down on some of those games, we'd be running, like, short 32, short 33, inside zone, kind of power-type deal, and, you know, you'd just be pounding the ball, you know, getting – hit back and forth, and then one would break open for 10, 15 yards. You'd have another first down, run some more time off the clock. So definitely probably some big plays in those games.
Well, thank you, Carson. Thank you for spending some time with us here.
Oh, yeah. And
enjoy the rest of your week.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, and that was our interview with Carson Steele. He was a lot of fun to sit down. Unfortunately, with that interview, you know, we were a little tight on time. He had, I'm pretty sure, some team interviews he had to get to that I guess NFL teams are slightly more important than KCSN or something. I don't know how that works down there. Come on, Eric. But yeah, we got to sit down with Carson Steele. It was a great interview. And like the first thing you notice about him when you turn on the tape or even meeting him in person, he's just a big guy. He's a big running back, tall, well filled out. Anybody that's paying attention right now, there's a lot of talk about Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, and Mike Mayock and all these scouts looking at players' cabooses. Carson Steele's your running back that's got that caboose going. He's got the bubble going on, and he runs with some power with it. So big, strong running back. But my favorite part about his game is his ability as a receiver. He's a guy that he's going to get some comparisons to Christian McCaffrey, which aren't fair, or even like a discount version is how people are going to say it. But he does kind of have that versatility to play on third downs because of his ability as a receiver, because he's a good player in the open field. So he's kind of a running back that's in an interesting spot. Because of his size, he looks like he can be an every down runner. But when you really dive into it, he might be best as a third down back early on. You know, he's a capable runner. He's a little bit upright, but he runs with good power. But he's really at his best in the open field, catching the football, showcasing these space skills, squaring up in pass protection. So he might have a role. He wasn't invited to the NFL Combine, which I thought was a little crazy. And they think he's a guy that's going to be able to find a role early on if for an NFL team because of what he can do on third down. And he just has like this physical build that the NFL usually likes. So now we're going to go from Carson Steele at UCLA. Now we're going to go to Frank Gore Jr., a running back at Southern Mississippi. We also got to sit down with him while we were at the East-West Shrine Bowl. Let's go ahead and jump into that interview real quick with Frank Gore Jr. We're sitting here with Frank Gore Jr., running back. Miss, thank you so much for your time coming to hang out with us here.
No problem. Thank you, God, for having me.
So I just want to start out and just ask, what got you, how did you get into football? You know, I think a lot of people are going to probably have a general idea of what they might think, but what got you into football specifically yourself?
I've been into football since I was 4 years old. I started playing when I was four. Actually, my dad signed me up too early. I was a year younger, and yeah. They changed my birth certificate, and I was playing. I had a big helmet, and I loved the game ever since.
Did you always play running back? Were you a running back at that small?
In Little League, I actually played quarterback growing up.
Yeah.
But, like, in Little League, you're still going to run the ball as a quarterback, so I always had the idea of growing to a running back. But, yeah, I was a quarterback for most of the time.
So do you think playing quarterback at all helped you in any way as a running back once you made that position switch?
I wouldn't say, because in Little League is like basic things like QB runs and things like that. But it also helped me see the game for sure. Helped me see the game.
Yeah. So when did you officially make that transition fully to running back? You weren't playing quarterback anymore. Was that high school, middle school? When did you make that
transition? I'd say like around middle school.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just played offense. I played defense as well, but mainly running back and corner.
Gotcha.
So, you know, you get into football and you start going. Did you feel pressure to stick with football at any point in time, or was it just something you just fell in love with kind of early on?
I wouldn't say pressure. I thought I could make the NBA.
Okay.
I played AAU basketball, but I knew football was going to be, like, my calling, and that's what I've, I was, my love was like most of my life.
So what would you say, if you had to describe what football means to you as a person, how would you explain that to people?
Football is like therapy to me. Like, it's like where I could get away from everything and just be free, just be able to play.
Yeah. So let's talk through your recruiting process. Obviously, you know, people know your father, people know where you come from and all of that. Talk me through what recruiting was like for you when people were coming and calling and what you had to do to prove to teams and to schools who you were as a running back.
I had most of the mid-majors was calling me. A lot of Power 5 schools said I was talented, but I was too small. And that kind of stuck with me. It built the chip on me that I'll forever have. And that's just a blessing and a curse at the same time. Yeah.
And so, how would your teammates describe you as a teammate or a person? Not necessarily a player, but as a teammate or as a person?
Always playing, always joking, always going to walk around with a smile. It would be 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm laughing and playing. They're like, man, we're too tired for that.
So now, when it's game time, how do you flip that switch to go from the jokester having fun to like, okay, now it's business time, we're getting out on the football field?
Believe it or not, I still play during the game. Like, if we're on the sideline, I'll crack a joke. And I try to keep it as most practice-like as possible. Because, like, in practice, you're just comfortable playing the game for what it is. So I just try to keep it as most, like, close to practice as I could.
So you get on the field. You're out there. You're running. What's your favorite run concept?
Gap schemes, for sure.
Gap schemes?
Counter.
Yes. Yeah? Yeah, you like counter. What's your favorite part about running counter?
Just being to manipulate the defense, being able to be in the driver's seat, as my dad would say, be in the driver's seat, and you control the car, and you have the wheel.
Yeah.
So when you get up the line, you know, there's a counter call coming. What are you trying to key on mentally, or what are you looking for as the snap ball is snapped and the play starts to progress?
It starts in film, whether you know the team's going to spill, try to make you bounce it, or if they're going to try to box it and keep it inside. It starts in film. So I'll say, watching film, you'll know the look that you'll get going into the week, but yeah, that's the main thing. I just mainly play off my film and my preparation for the week.
Yeah. So let's say somebody's never watched you before. What is a game that you would direct them to and say, go watch that if you want a good encapsulation of who you are?
My junior year, the bowl game, the Rice game where I broke the record, had 329 yards.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Is there a specific play from that game that sticks, like every detail sticks in your mind that you could walk us through?
Oh, it was my last play of the game, I broke like a 53-yard touchdown, and that just sealed the game. And that's the play like that I remember the most. And I could
you walk us through that one? Like, what was the play? Not the play call, but the run type it was, and like just what was going through your mind throughout the whole thing.
Inside zone, and I was breaking like as the stats will tell you, I was breaking a lot of runs that game. So once I got into the open field, it was like 1-on-1 with the safety, but he knew what move, like, we seen this, like, before. So he knew what I was going to do. So I did the move, and I gave him a bluff, and I did the move again.
Yeah.
And then finally got him. And then from there, I just took off and took it to the touchdown.
So let's say you make that play. You win the game. Let's say it's a close game. You end up winning the game on that play. Do you want to do that at home? The whole crowd's going nuts. You want to do that on the road against your rival, and everybody just goes silent.
Away, for sure.
Away.
Away.
You want to quiet everybody. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So kind of along the same line, you mentioned earlier that some Power 5 teams told you they thought you were too small. So when you're playing, do you find more motivation from proving doubters wrong or people that supported you right?
Common ground of both. As of now, like, I don't focus on that anymore. I know it's there. Like, it's there for sure. I carry it with me, but that's not something I focus on. I try to focus on proving myself right more than anything, proving myself and believing on saying who I am, who I think I am.
Yeah. So let's fast forward to draft night. Your name gets called. You're standing in the room. Who are you hugging first? Who's your support system? Who's with you on that night?
My son, my girl, my dad for sure, and my mom for sure, and my siblings for sure.
Nice, man. Nice.
Thank you. Thank you for sitting down with us and spending a little bit of time. We appreciate the time.
Thank you guys for having me.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible.
The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so that was our interview with Frank Gore Jr. And, like, obviously, you know, let's state the obvious. His dad is Frank Gore Sr. Most of us are going to know who he is. That's not the only reason you have to know his name. They're like, Frank Gore, he had an interesting journey. He was a quarterback in high school. He goes to Southern Mississippi. He becomes a star running back. But then all of a sudden, the program has a bunch of injuries, and they have to adjust their entire offense, and he has to be their emergency, like, third-string quarterback and start multiple games. Then he goes off, and they're running the Wildcat. You know, he's playing quarterback, but it's mostly as a runner. He then goes into a bowl game. He sets a bowl record, I believe it was, with 5 rushing touchdowns. He has the viral interview where, you know, he's thanking mom and stuff on the field. As on the player on the field, like, you can tell he grew up in a football family. This, the natural instincts are there. He knows what he's looking for in terms of reading out blocks, how to leverage the second level linebackers or safeties and to set them up on blocks or to make them miss. And, like, he understands the nuance of playing the game. His dad obviously has been a very good football player for a long time. You can tell that it's something that he grew up with. He really understands everything, you know, the minutiae of playing the game of football, especially running back. Now, his size might be a little bit of a problem for some teams, coming in at 5'8", just barely squeaking over 200 pounds. He's not the biggest running back, but he does make up for that with some third down ability as well. So he's another guy that teams, I think, will look for later in the draft to be a nice sound runner, probably a compliment runner to whoever a starter is. But if you need them to fill in some third down reps, specifically as a wide receiver, Frank Gore Jr. might be able to carve out a role there as he, you know, gets a little bit more into an NFL body, can pick up more carries and stuff like that. So those were two running backs that we really got to sit down with while we were down in Texas, got to talk to. We really enjoyed it. But I promised you guys an extra interview. So here's one. The Chiefs have had a lot of interviews so far, you know, top 30 visits or shown interest in tight ends during this draft process. So here we got to sit down with Dalen Holker, tight end out of Colorado State, transferred in from BYU. He's a tight end that we got to sit down with down there too. So let's hop over there into this interview with Dalen Holker and see what he has to say. We are here with Dalen Holker of Colorado State at tight end. Thank you for spending some time with us and coming to sit down.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So I just want to start, how did you get into football when you were younger? What kind of led you to that passion for this sport?
Yeah, I always just played sports. Sports is like a big thing for my family. So, you know, we always tried different sports, and football just ended up being my favorite one, and I just loved it ever since.
So when did you get started playing football?
When I was 8 years old.
Okay. And yeah. Were you always a tight end, or where'd you play?
No, so I was a quarterback until my sophomore year of high school, actually.
Okay, gotcha. Describe making that transition, how playing quarterback has kind of helped you with maybe some of your route tempoing, reading coverages, those sorts of things.
Yeah, I definitely think it helps a lot. Like, I understand, like, the process that quarterbacks go through, and kind of like their reads too and what they're looking for and just reading defenses. So I feel like it actually helped me like a ton in the long run.
Yeah.
So you get into college, you're there, you transfer to Colorado State. What about Colorado State made you feel like that was the right fit for you to move your game over there?
Yeah, I have a wife, so we transferred together, and they ended up having a really good track program and a good long jump coach because she's a long jumper. So that worked out, and I love the coaches, so it's kind of like a perfect fit for both of us.
What was the competition like between you and your wife? About like, oh no, I'm the better athlete. I'm the better at this sport or that sport.
Yeah, we don't argue about that. But when we're playing something, it gets competitive. Like pickleball, we get super competitive in pickleball. So,
did you have a specific coach at Colorado that's kind of made that transition easier? That you feel like you've learned a lot from in your time there?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, all the coaches were there are like they're awesome. I worked with Coach James Finley, and he was, you know, an amazing tight end coach for me. And then, you know, Coach Mummy and Coach Norvell, they offensive coordinator, head coach. Coach Norvell is like offensive-minded guy, so worked a lot with them too. And, you know, all those guys, like, helped me out a lot. Coach Mono, helped me out a lot. So
playing tight end, it's such a difficult position because on one hand, you're dealing with 300-pound guys, and on the other hand, you're being asked to run away from 170-pound guys. Yeah. Like, how difficult is that, like, out there on the field, and how does the mindset have to change from play to play for guys playing tight end?
Yeah, I think it's fun, honestly. I think it's, like, you know, one of the best positions you could play. Martellus Bennett was actually talking to us here the other day, and he's like, you guys are the second quarterback on the field, and like, it's true. We got to know, like, everything in the offense, and we got to be able to do everything, too, like you were saying, so... It, you know, it definitely requires a different type of mindset, I feel like, but, you know, it's a fun position to play.
So, which would you prefer, laying out like a nice pancake block, setting an edge, you know, basically burying a defensive end, or routing up a DB out there and, you know, a nice little hour out of the sideline or something like that?
Yeah, that's a tough question, honestly. Both of them feel really good. I would say a pancake feels like probably a little better because they're always bigger than you, so... But, yeah, and you're always at a disadvantage, it seems like, so when you're running blocking, so.
Right. So, you know, you pancake somebody. Do you let them know a little bit once you get them down, or are you just kind of like, nope, back to the huddle, this is business as usual for me?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the person and, you know, like, how they are throughout the game and how they're acting to, like, my teammates and stuff, you know. I'm not a huge, like, trash talker in the game, but someone's talking to my teammates and I get a little involved in it, so. So, kind of just depends on the guy.
Do you have a favorite play to run? Now, this could be a route that you like running. This could be a run play that you like blocking for. But do you just have a favorite play that when it gets called up, you're involved, and your eyes just light up in the huddle, and you're ready to go?
Yeah. I would say any play that I'm really just, like, involved in, you know what I mean? Or any, like, any type of run game. Like, I like wide zone a lot. I like counter with the tight end. Yeah. I like running option routes, though. That's, like, my favorite route to run. I just feel like you can do so much in the route, so that's probably my favorite.
Right, so, you know, you have an option route called. You're getting up to the line of scrimmage. Can you take me through just the process of what's going through your mind at the line of scrimmage? Who are you reading? What are you looking for your leverage and your cues kind of as the play goes on and what you're trying to set up?
Yeah, so usually I look at the safeties first. I see if they're, you know, one high safety or two high safety. And depending on what they're doing after that, I look at usually, like, the nickel, Sam, whoever's over top of me to see if he's, you know, inside, outside, or – if it's man too, sometimes I'll peek out at the corner to see what he's doing, just make sure it's man. But other than that, I kind of just, you know, as soon as I say hike, give it a little time and read it and then just make a decision from there. So
is there somebody that you kind of used as an example that you've tried to grow? You know, this whole process is about growing. So, you know, a player that you've studied or a set of players that you've studied to try and help tweak some of your route running, blocking, anything like that?
Yeah. Travis Kelce for sure. He's my favorite. Every offseason, I'll go watch, like, you know, the IT guys are pretty good with how they do everything. So I get, like, every one of his plays and just go through it and then make my own cut up of the plays that I really like. And, you know, if I feel like maybe I didn't have the best practice or if I feel a little off on my route running, I'll just go back and watch the highlight reel pretty much that I kind of, like, made for myself. And it always helps a lot.
Do you feel like you've gotten anything specific from that? Is there a specific example that you can look at that you're like, oh, I'm glad I watched that and I was able to translate that to the field?
Yeah, I mean, just, like, Travis Kelce's moves at the top of his route, like, I always feel like I try to mimic them the best I can. You know, it's hard, but, I would say that for sure. And his, like, releases at the line, you know, definitely try to, like, do some of that stuff.
So let's say somebody hasn't seen you play a football game yet at all. They're just now getting into this process. What game of yours would you recommend them to go start with and watch to see who you are as a football player?
Yeah, I'd probably say the Colorado game. That was it was just a fun game to watch, honestly, in general. But it was a fun game.
Is there a specific play from that game that kind of sticks in your mind that you kind of remember everything about and could walk us through?
Yeah, I would say, I think it might have been our first touchdown of the game. It was like a little trick play. And so he threw it to our receiver, Torrey Horan. He caught it. And my read was like, if the safety stays back, no matter what, I was supposed to cross the safety's face because our running back was coming behind him. The safety came down so much, I was just like, I'm not going in front of him. So I ran behind him. And in the scouting report that week, there was a safety on their team. And they were like, oh, this safety's good. Like, I think he'll be good, like a good position or matchup with the tight ends. So that kind of made me mad, like, that they said that. So I was just like, you know, I got to make this play. And Torrey threw, like, a perfect pass. And he dropped back and was right next to me, and I caught it and just went crazy. Like, it was a fun time.
So you make that play, obviously, against a rival.
Yeah,
a big rival there. You make that play. Would you rather that be at home? All your fans are going crazy. They're excited that that happened. They're excited that you're in the end zone. Would you rather that be against a rival and now everything goes quiet?
Yeah.
You don't hear anybody talking anymore.
Yeah. I mean, both are, like, amazing feelings. Like, honestly, like, you know, I feel like at home you kind of just expect that, you know, from your fans to go crazy. And definitely is, like, brings in a lot of energy, but away it just, like, takes away so much from the opposing team. So I would say away, probably.
That silence is great. All right, so let's fast forward a little bit, right? Let's look forward. It's draft night. You're sitting there, and then you get that phone call, and someone's calling you. You're getting drafted right now. What's that feeling like for you? Who's going to be with you there? And just what are the emotions you're going through at that moment?
Yeah, I'm for sure going to cry. You know, like, I waited for this moment for so long and been working so hard, and like, I'm just so grateful, like, thankful to God that it's, like, it's here and that he's helped me, like, get to this point. Definitely, you know, probably just family, you know, just invite the family. Nothing too crazy, just my parents and probably my siblings, my wife. She's in Colorado, so hopefully she's not at a track meet or something. But she's not hoping she can make it. But, you know, just family probably.
And then just one last question. So you're a successful football player. You're getting to college. You're doing good things. Was there a moment that you just knew that, like, okay, I can make it to the NFL. This is an opportunity for me to make this my full career. Like, what was that moment for you throughout your playing career?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly just feel like growing up, like, there was no other option. Like, I just felt like this is the way. Like, and so that's always just been my mindset the whole way. So there's never a time where I really just doubted it. And the whole time I just was like, I think I can do this. I think I can do this. And I just believed it the whole time. So, you know, I finally just got my shot. I was at BYU before Colorado State. So I just finally felt like I got an opportunity to show what I could do. But I was believing in myself the whole time.
It's awesome. Thank you. That was Dallin Holker of Colorado State. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And that was Dallin Holker out of Colorado State. He was one of my favorite interviews. I've said this in the past. I love tight ends. It's just one of my favorite positions. They have to block. They have to be good athletes. They have to get out there in the receiving game. They have to figure out the blocking game and run game. They have to do so much. So I always enjoy getting to sit down and talk with those guys and how they process the game and everything. And he was guys no different. He's a good receiver, and you can tell that's where he spends. I don't want to say like all of his time, but that's where he knows his bread is buttered as an NFL prospect. And so talking about, you know, replicating his game after Travis Kelce, because he kind of has that same smooth, fluid movement where he can set up defenders. He knows how to control the tempo or the pacing of his routes, when to accelerate, when to slow down, how to present himself as a big target. You can tell this is a guy that knows he's going to make it in the NFL for his receiving ability. And he's a great athlete, but maybe not elite of the elite. So he understands how he has to work to get open. I like that he shows strong hands. You can flex him out into the slot. Like, he is a pretty complete receiving tight end. You're probably teams aren't going to look at him to come in and be their Y tight end that's, you know, throwing a bunch of blocks or anything like that. But if you're the Chiefs, you're looking for a potential future replacement to a guy like Travis Kelce. You want to get somebody with a similar skill set that has that ability to flex out, to run a fair amount of routes, to work three levels of the field at tight end spot. Holker is a guy to keep your eye on, especially in the middle rounds of this draft. So thank you. Thank you guys for sitting through this. We are sitting here. Hey, if you haven't, you're listening to this, you kind of like the NFL draft. I think that's what we're here for. So make sure you pre-order your KCSN draft guide. The pre-order is live. That booklet is coming out here on April 5th. That's right around the corner. So you get your pre-order in for that on April 5th. You'll get the book. You'll also get 3 months of access to the KCSN Substack. That's where we do all our in-depth film reviews. We get into the analytics. You get a daily article coming to that KCSN Substack. So $13.99. You get access to the KCSN draft guide on April 5th, and then you get 3 months of the KCSN Substack. Go do that now. And thank you guys, as always, listening for the KCSN Draft Show. We'll catch you guys next week, where we look into some more positions and some more player interviews.